I bring you greetings from Hawaii. It's just a short walk and a long swim from here. Well, thanks to modern technology, we can fly. But greetings. As my wife mentioned and Helene mentioned, we worshiped at a church in a little town called Waimanalo. Our church building was maybe about this size, not as big as your church here, but it was a nice little country church. And we have a lot of friends and loved ones there that we left behind when my wife and I moved here to California 2 years ago. But it's a joy to be here. In fact, this is my third time here in this church. My first time was back around 1982-83. And that was my very first, and of course my second time was about a month ago. It's on. Maybe it needs to be closer. I have a question for you. How many of you are in love this morning? Anybody?
Yes.
Huh?
I'm in love.
Are you sure you're in love?
Yes. I'm here.
Ah, well, let's see. Now, I'm not just talking about boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband-wife kind of love, you know. What I'm talking about is especially for a love that we have for a man called Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Bow your heads with me once more, if you would, please. Father, please speak through this earthen vessel your message to your children here in Vista and those listening on teleconference. In Jesus' name, amen. Allow me to give you a little history of how this sermon materialized. Back in 1991, at a church that I used to attend, the elders used to meet the first Sabbath of every month, you know, to pray, discuss things, church service, and so forth. And during one of the discussions, one of the elders brought up the subject of our neighbors. Loving our neighbors and what we as a church could do for our neighbors. Well, I confess that as the discussion went on, my mind began to drift because my mind, for some reason, was focused on the word love. What is it about love that will cause us to want to go to our neighbors and share Jesus with them? A lot of questions started running through my mind. And even after the elders' meeting and after church service, after potluck, and after I went home, the question bothered me. Just what is it about Jesus' love that makes it a special kind of love? You know, in John 17, verse 26, it says that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. What was Jesus praying here? He's actually praying that the love that God the Father had for him. Jesus is saying, Father, I want that same love in your people. Why? In John 13, verse 35, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have what?
Love.
Love one for another. In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, why does Jesus summarize the Ten Commandments with love? You know, all these questions are running through my mind, and I had to go and search for the answers. In John 15, verses 9 through 12, Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And then verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So you will notice that in verse 9, Jesus said that the same love that the Father had for him, he has for us. And that he wants us to have that same kind of love for them as well as for each other. So why does Jesus want us to have this kind of love? This special love. In verse 10, Jesus associates the keeping of his commandments with abiding in his love, and him keeping the Father's commandments and abiding in the Father's love. So I ask myself another question. Why or what does keeping the commandments have to do with abiding in Jesus' love? Verse 11, Jesus wants us to have his joy in us so that our joy will be full. And verse 12, he commands us to love one another the same way that he loves. So what is it about Jesus' love that if we allow it to take full control of our lives, we will continue in his love? Not just some of the time, but all the time. We will always keep his commandments. Our joy will be full. We will love one another as Jesus loves. There is a lot of scripture that talks about this beautiful subject of love and why God wants us to love as he loves. And today we're just going to touch on it. And I encourage you, as you have the time to do so, to do a little study of your own on this beautiful subject and see what you come up with. For whatever reason, during my study, I felt directed to spend a lot of time searching the Word of God and in prayer until finally I felt a beautiful picture of God began to form in this mind of mine of what I believe is true love. And before I go any further, I'm going to ask my wife if she would refrain from shouting out the letters, because she has a tendency to do that. You know, wives. So, honey, thank you. But as this picture began to form in my mind, I discovered that the reason was hidden in each of the four letters of the word itself, the L, the O, the V, and the E. And these four things basically summarizes the whole plan of salvation. So let's look at the L in the word love for a brief moment. In fact, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be spending a lot of time in John chapter 17 this morning. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of other texts on this beautiful subject. But for the sake of time, we'll just take a look mostly in John 17. So John 17 verses 4 and 6. In fact, John 17 is known as what? Anyone? By the way, it's okay for you to talk to me, okay? If you have a question or comment, hey, feel free to stop me at any time. Well, John 17 is known as the longest recorded prayer of Jesus. And as I was trying to look for the answers to all the questions that I mentioned earlier, for whatever reason, I was led to John 17, along with other scriptures, but mostly John 17. So John 17, verses 4 and 6, it says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Now, because Jesus was the L in the word love, he glorified the Father instead of himself, and he made known the Father's name instead of his own name. So, if we love as Jesus loves, we will be the L in the word love. Anyone want to guess what the L might be?
No.
Except my wife. Okay, Jet says love.
Life.
Well, good answers. All right. Preach it, man. For me, as I read these verses, the L means loyal. If I love as Jesus loves the Father loves Jesus loves me, as I love him, I will be loyal to him. Okay?
Amen.
And Jesus knows that if I am loyal to him, I will have no other gods before him. We will not worship or bow down to any graven image. We will not take his name in vain. We will remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. We will worship God, and him only will we serve. Now, interestingly enough, when we apply the word loyal or loyalty to our marriage, for those of us that may be married, what it means is that I am not going to cheat on my wife, and my wife is not going to cheat on me. Why? Because we are loyal to each other.
Amen.
Okay? Amen? So it works both ways, our relationship to God and our relationship to our spouses. So if I love as Jesus loves, I am loyal. Let's move on to the O in the word love. Jesus knows that if we are loyal to him, that it will enable us to be the O in the word love. In John chapter 17, verses 11 and 21 through 23, we will see what the O is in love. Verse 11 reads, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Moving on down to verse 21, 22, and 23. And you will notice that Jesus mentions this word six times in these four verses. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." In these four verses of his prayer for us, Jesus prays to the Father that he wants us to be what? One with him, as he and the Father are one. How may we be one with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit? There will be diversities of gifts. In other words, there will be different gifts: singing, speaking, meeting people, so forth. However, there is to be a unity of spirit, a unity of objectives, a unity of beliefs. There is to be no striving for supremacy, such as had plagued the 12 disciples. Growth towards perfection can only take place when the believer abides in Christ's love. And we see in these verses the close unity that Jesus wants to see between the members of the Godhead and us with each other. When we accept Christ, we become members of the body. To accomplish the greatest amount of good, the body must function as a unit, as one, if you please. The work of God will prosper if the people of God draw together and work in unity. So if I love as Jesus loves, I am loyal and one with him. So the O in the word love is for being one. Okay? So first, I am loyal. And if I love as God loves, it empowers me to be one with him. Now we come to the V in the word love. Jesus wants us to be loyal and one with him because he wants us to have the V in each of our lives. In John 17, verse 15, Jesus prayed, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." Jesus prays this prayer for you and I because he wants us to have the V in our relationship with him. And the V in the word love is, anyone want to guess? Did my wife whisper that to you? Okay. All right. Make sure they don't go first in potluck, okay? All right. Yes. Thank you, Allison, our good friend from the Corona Church. Amen. From way back in the 90s. And yes, the V in the word love is victory. So if I love as Jesus loves, I will be what?
Victorious.
Victorious. I will choose victory over sin in my life. How many of you want victory in your life today? Now, I might be stepping on some toes, but I'm going to say this. Ask this question. How many of you want victory over every temptation? Every temptation. Notice I didn't say some temptation, but every temptation. Believe it or not, there are many Christians, including Adventist Christians, that believe that it is impossible to have victory over every temptation because we are human. Are we human?
Yes.
But not in that sense. Yeah. Well, the Apostle Paul tells us otherwise. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, anyone know that verse by memory? It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful." God is what?
Faithful.
"Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." What is God saying here through the Apostle Paul? In simple language, in my own simple mindedness, it's simply saying this, that God, because of his mercy, his grace towards us, he will not allow us to be tempted with anything that he knows we cannot have victory over. Why? Because a way of escape has been provided to everyone who accepts Jesus Christ, not only as Savior, but as Lord of their lives.
Amen.
Now, what's the difference between Savior and Lord? Most Christians have no problem with accepting Jesus as Savior. Why? Because nobody wants to be lost, right?
Yes.
Everybody wants to be saved.
Yes.
But the problem comes is accepting Jesus as Lord. Lord simply means this, that Jesus is in control of my life.
Amen.
See, when I accept Jesus as Savior, I need to also accept Him as Lord. Because if I do not accept Him as Lord of my life, there's no saving grace. The saving grace is there, but if I don't take a hold of it and say, Father, I need you. Every time I fail, and because I fail, I'm weak, I need you to take over this heart of mine so that I will be loyal to you. So that I will be one with you. So that I will be able to have victory over every single temptation that the devil throws before me. Amen?
Amen.
So I encourage you this morning to not only accept Jesus as Savior, but to accept Him as Lord of your life. We see one of the biggest reasons why we don't have victory over certain temptations is simply that. Because we do not accept Jesus as Lord. We accept Him as Savior. And we struggle with accepting Him as Lord. And as a result, we have the same problem that Lot's wife had when they were fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 17, you remember the story. They were given specific instruction not to what?
To look back.
We read down in verse 26 of Genesis 19. We find Lot's wife looking back. And she instantly lost her life, becoming a pillar of salt. When we are tempted, we tend to look at the temptation and we can't help but notice how enticing it is. And the longer we look at it, the more we find ourselves giving in to it. But victory is promised to us through Jesus Christ if we keep our focus on Jesus, who is not only our way of escape that we just read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, but also the author and finisher of our faith. And when humanity connects with divinity, we have victory.
Amen.
So if I love as Jesus loves, I am loyal. I am one with Him. I'm able to have victory. As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of scripture texts that we can claim. And we will have no problem. As we claim these verses, we have no problem being loyal and one and having victory over every temptation. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 11, if you already not have committed this verse to memory, I encourage you to do so and claim it. The psalmist says here in this verse, thy word... Thy what?
Thy word.
Thy word. Have I hid where?
In
mine heart. That I might not sin against thee. What do I need to do? Hide God's word in my heart. And His promise is, I will not sin against Him. So, is it possible to have victory over every temptation?
Amen.
If we have God's word hidden in our hearts, in other words, not just reading our Bibles, but living it. Amen?
Amen.
Not just reading it. How many of you read your Bibles? Huh? Yeah. How many of us live it? And I trust that that is one of the reasons why we're here this morning, because we are living it.
Amen.
To have God's word hidden in the heart, to make it a part of my life, a part of your life, and it will empower us to love, and Jesus loves, so that, yes, I will be loyal to him. There will be no other gods before him. I will be loyal to my wife and my wife to me. I will be one. I will have victory. Now, whenever God does something for us, it is because he always has the E in the word love in mind. And that brings us to our scripture text for today, which was found in John chapter 17, verse 24. And it reads, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Here Jesus is praying for the culmination of the plan of redemption in the glorification of the church of God at the time of the second coming of Jesus. At that time, the faithful go to ever be with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We were talking a little bit about that in Sabbath school this morning, the hope. Just as Jesus prayed for the arrival of this glad moment, every Christian should be praying for a speedy fulfillment of this promise. So the E in love, anyone want to guess?
Eternity.
Yeah? Okay. Eternity, everlasting. For me, I put eternal life, you know. The E in love is eternal life or eternity. However, we cannot have eternal life if we do not have the special love that Jesus has for the Father and the Father for him, a love that is loyal, a love that makes us one with God, a love that claims victory over every temptation. And we will find ourselves saying, as the psalmist says in Psalms 23, verse 6, someone read it this morning in Sabbath school. I'm just going to read the last part of the verse. It says, "I shall do what? Dwell where? In the house of the Lord for how long?
Forever."
How many of you want to see that become a reality?
Forever.
"I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen.
However, all the promises in verses 2 through 6 of this beautiful Psalm 23 may only become a reality only if we do what verse 1 says. Anyone remember what verse 1 says? Psalms 23?
"The Lord
is my what?
Shepherd.
I shall not want." And all the promises listed after that will not happen if I do not make the Lord my shepherd.
Amen.
Again, accepting Jesus not only as Savior, but as Lord of my life.
Amen.
So that, yes, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is anxiously waiting for the moment when he will be able to say to his son, "Son, it's time. Go and bring my children home."
Amen.
Let us help hasten that moment by first learning to love as God loves a love that helps us to be loyal, a love that causes us to be one, a love that causes us to have victory over how much?
All
temptation. A love that promises eternal life. Here you have a true definition of love. Looking at love from a different angle. Don't just keep it to yourself. As Christians have a particular responsibility for the spiritual welfare of others. The world is dependent on the church for information about the life to come. And everyone who loves Christ will love his neighbors enough to seek to enlighten them, to lead them to the Savior, and to aid in their preparation for his soon return. Now, if you have your Bibles with you once again, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, if you would, just for a quick moment. Ephesians chapter 1, particularly verses 3, 4, and 5. I read these verses several times in my life, and one day, as I was reading this verse in trying to look for answers to my questions that I asked earlier about love, I stumbled upon this scripture text. And let me read it first of all. Reading from the King James Version. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Notice in verse 4, that it says, according as he hath chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. Before God even created this speck of dirt in space, he had you and I in mind. And as I was looking at this subject of love, I asked myself, wait a minute. God, who knows all things, he knew I was going to sin. He knew Lucifer was going to sin. He knew you were going to sin. Why did he make us anyway? How many of you would make something if you knew it was going to fail? Anyone? I know I wouldn't. It would be a waste of time and energy, wouldn't it? Yeah. To make something that you knew was going to fail. Yet, God did that anyway. Imagine that. And as I pondered this question in my own mind, why? And it all centered upon the fact that God is love. And because God is love, he loved you and die before we were even formed in our mother's womb. He loved us so much that even though he knew we were going to disobey him, he made us anyway, so that we would have the opportunity to love him back. Amen. What a God. What a God. A God who is not only so merciful and gracious, but so loving that he takes me, he takes you in his embrace and holds you close. And he says, "Son, daughter, I forgive you. Now walk with me. Love me as I love you. Love me as I love you. So this love, don't just keep it to yourself. Share it. Share it with someone else so that the gospel will go into where? All the world. And then what did Jesus said would happen? The end will come. I believe that is the last prophecy that needs to take place. The gospel into all the world. And that can only take place, folks, if people like you and I, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as not just Savior, but as Lord of our lives. If we take this Jesus into our communities, our workplaces, our homes, wherever we go, may Jesus go with you. Amen. Share Jesus. Amen. Share his love. Yes. Become his love. Yes. And I trust that on that glorious day, like Brother Cleveland, I too look forward to seeing many loved ones that have been laid to rest. I trust that God will gather each of his children and say, welcome home. Welcome home. Amen. I love you. I love you. And this gospel of the kingdom shall go into all the world, and then the end will come. Let's make it happen. Let's hasten that day when we will go home. I invite you to stand with me as we sing our closing song. Hymn number 191, Love Divine.